You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I should have mentioned, I guess we've been so busy, I forgot to tell you that it's, if you don't know already, Saturday evening, March the 12th, as our march around the world continues. We're going to take a quick breather from it. 5 hours in so far, and five great guests, if I do say so myself, from Germany, Scotland, Australia, Croatia, and England. The march around the world will continue next week and the week after that, and then we'll be into April and Confederate History Month. But first, we will continue the conversation. We've got some announcements to make this hour that are very, very pressing, very important. So please stick around and listen to them in the next segment. But I want to first follow up on the conversation. You know, in addition to the guests and their insights and their opinions and analysis and commentary, we're reinforcing some of this with some pretty good content at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Got some great articles coming up this week at thepoliticalcesspool.org that we're cross-posting. One from Paul Craig Roberts about who the sanctions are hurting more. Is it the West or is it Russia? Very interesting take there. And then this one from William S. Lind, entitled Putin Rolls the Dice. Now, very quickly, Keith, remind everybody who William S. Lind is.
William Lind worked for the Center for Cultural Conservatism. He was quoted at length by Pat Buchanan in his groundbreaking book, Death of the West. He's been around since the 80s. He has a master's from Dartmouth. He is known, in addition to his kind of paleoconservative articles, he's also known for being the inventor of a concept known as fourth generation warfare. He said we've had third generation warfare starting from the Peace of Westphalia in 1648 or something until the end of World War II in Korea. But what we're seeing now are battles between not two nation states in uniform, matching uniforms, but fights against insurgents and guerrilla warfare. And that's what we've had in the Middle East. He's basically gone to great lengths to flesh this out, and he makes a lot of sense, and he has studied in military college.
And he's an excellent commentator as well, a columnist, I guess you could say. And he writes for his own website. But he wrote this in the article entitled Putin Rolls the Iron Dice. Why did the American foreign policy establishment, a.k.a. the blob, take a position that almost forced Russia to go to war? Maybe the answer is just the blob's usual combination of hubris and incompetence. But it is also possible it wanted Russia to get into what may prove to be a strategically unwinnable war with the rest of the American establishment. It hates Russia because Russia rejects cultural Marxism, as do most of the former Soviet bloc countries. It seems that they know a thing or two about Marxism and are not so eager to get another dose of it. And looking at the American foreign policy establishment's motives, remember that the U.S. has no real interest at stake in the Ukraine. Our involvement is strategically gratuitous. Ideological motivation in Washington, not Moscow, may be at least a partial explanation of the unhelpful role the United States has played. Now, Keith, we have had a flood of comments come in from various listeners, and we'll go to them, and I'm just going to read these verbatim. Ike was the first head of NATO. The only advice he gave to JFK was get the U.S. out of NATO. The Ukraine army is largely in retreat and in flight. Zelensky is sending his citizens out to be slaughtered, and the Russians are trying not to do that. If Putin wanted to, he could have crushed the Ukraine in a few days. The Ukrainians can be Ukrainian, but they can't be NATO puppets. This is not Putin versus Ukraine. It is Putin versus NATO, globo homo. And that, again, is what we were talking about in the last segment, Keith, is that all of this array is aligned against Russia, and all of these American, filthy American corporations. When you have Coca-Cola and Pornhub and TikTok and McDonald's and Disney and Starbucks and Netflix and all of these other, they're pulling stakes out of Russia. That's another win for the Russian people.
Well, again, the secret is Jewish power and influence. Jewish power and influence drives our foreign policy in the area, particularly towards Russia. Why is it that Russia is the great enemy now, rather than a nation 10 times larger, 10 times the population, 10 times the economy, and 10 times the military, China? Well, it's because the Jews don't have a bone to pick with the Orientals. They didn't insist on having a Japanese version of the Nuremberg trials after World War II, even though the Japanese were much crueler to our prisoners of war than the Germans were. Why? Because the Germans wanted to stamp out any type of white Caucasian goyim national sovereignty and consciousness. And they particularly wanted to punish Hitler because he'd committed the unpardonable sin of driving the Rothschilds' banking interests out of the Central Bank of Germany in 1933. So that's why they took the position they did against, white Gentiles. Well, guess what? Putin and Russia are the white Gentile power in the world now. We certainly aren't anymore, and the Chinese aren't. Those are the three players. So what we've been trying to do in our foreign policy directed by Jewish power and influence is to use NATO as a way to estrange the nations that border Russia and have been always considered a part of greater Russia for most of the past three centuries, places like the Ukraine or Georgia or Kazakhstan, things like this. They want all of those nations to be enemies of Russia. Why do they want that? Because that is the enemy that Jewish power and influence wants to fight. Also, Russia got involved with the regime change of plans of the neocons like Paul Wolfowitz and David Frum and Douglas Feith, people like that, in changing the regimes in all these Islamic countries. The last domino they were hoping was going to fall was Syria, and they would have fallen but for Russia and Putin's involvement in that. So this is what is driving, this is a secret agenda that is driving this war. They are trying to use Ukraine to become another vassal state of this Western European American behemoth, and they are using it trying to weaken Russia. Now, Putin sees the Ukrainians as being fellow Russians. Ukrainians beg to differ. Somewhat like white Southerners thought they were different from Yankees. So this is kind of an interesting replay. It's like everything is a history repeats itself. First is a tragedy and then is a farce. And maybe this is what's going on here, but I think what is going to have to happen is that Ukraine is being used. They have been, we basically told the Ukraine in the 90s under Clinton that in return for surrendering all their nuclear weapons left over from the Soviet era, we would guarantee their boundaries and we would come to their aid militarily if they were invaded by a foreign nation. Well, it seems to have happened, and it seems not to be happening as we promised. Likewise, with Russia, we told them that we would not have NATO expand into any former Warsaw Pact countries. Well, guess what? Ukraine was one of those NATO, Warsaw Pact countries, just like Poland was, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania.
Not nearly enough time tonight to get to everything. Not nearly enough. But we're doing the best we can with the time we've got. Great commentary from Keith Alexander right there. We'll be right back.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, americafirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. MericaFirst.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. FreedomFactor.org.
And welcome back, everybody, as we continue. More comments from the audience in response to the continued conversation that's happening tonight. About Russia and Ukraine. And this from our good friend Rick in South Brooklyn. The Ukrainians have no right to allow their country to be used as a staging ground for the attacks on Russia, or for attacks on Russia. They are not going to be independent. They will be totally controlled by Western forces. And if they're controlled by NATO, by the way, they're controlled by America. And that is the evil empire. There's just no doubt about that. In my opinion, that's me talking now. Here is... more. Let's see here. Putin is a badass. The world order must be challenged. It had to be done. Yeah, well, I get it. Talking about how the degenerate filth that is corporate America has now picked up stakes. They're trying to punish Russia by doing that. I think this is another win for Russia. In fact, this listener writes, she writes, they may not get a drag queen story hour now. Let's see what else we've got here.
You know, that's a very good point. What they're doing George Bush's program of spreading democracy. What is democracy? Basically what we call globo homo. And I don't think really the people in Eastern Europe are down with that any more than the Arab nations are.
William S. Lynn was saying, let's see here what we've got. Oh, yeah, this is a good question, and we should have asked it. We'll ask this. We haven't asked this yet about all of the questions about this person being a Nazi and that person being a Nazi. How popular is a Jewish president in a country reputed to be anti-Semitic? That's a good question. The Ukrainian army is about to be cut off in the east. That goes back to something that we were talking about just in passing just a moment ago.
So
Putin was trying to reclaim the Russian speakers of the breakaway republics, whereas it seems as though Ukraine was playing the role of Stalin here and planning an invasion even in advance of the fact. But we will continue this conversation. You know, it's been serious conversations. This is a serious radio program, and we've had serious guests, and we've had serious success. Keith, let me ask you this. We've got a little bit of time in this segment. Let me give you a final shot at Russia and Ukraine before we give a couple of announcements and sort of look ahead to what's coming for the rest of the month. Go.
Well, what we need to understand about America's position regarding Russia tracks very closely with what Jewish power and influence worldwide, world Jewry's position is on Russia. They have a schizophrenic approach to Russia. They hated Tsarist Russia because of the pogroms in the 19th century. But then they were in love with Soviet Russia, even to the point of Hollywood making that movie, The Russians Are Coming, The Russians Are Coming, that left the Russian ambassador to America to leave the theater in tears. He was so moved and so grateful for this pro-Russian picture. That was because Soviet Russia was run by Jewish Bolsheviks. Now, the Soviet Union and communist Russia have fallen. Russia is no longer a communist nation, and again, Jewish power and influence seems to dislike intensely Russia. So that, you know, everything tracks to that. It lets you know just how much of a vassal state the United States of America is to Jewish power and influence.
All right. Well, you know, this is interesting, too. I didn't know where I could work this in, but I saw we were talking so much with Paul Fromm last month about the what was going on up there in Canada. I saw where the worm Justin Trudeau had the audacity to say that we're going to stand up for democracy. That's why we're taking
standing up for global homo. When they say when a liberal says he's standing up for democracy, he means he's standing up for transgenderism and global homo.
Well, and saying he was standing up for democracy, that's why they had to fight against Putin. Well, he doesn't stand up for democracy with his own citizens. He puts them, he freezes their banks, bank accounts. I mean, all sorts of tyrannical actions up there that was well documented on this show.
That's because of your arcane idea about what democracy means. That's what democracy means to good, clear-thinking people, but to the new generation of people, Globo Homo is what democracy is all about.
And I couldn't help but notice that Russia has been cut off. And when I say Russia, I mean not just supporters of Putin. All Russians in Russia have been cut off from using MasterCard and Visa. They are treating one of the biggest nations in the world, one of the most powerful, one of the big three with regards to the nuclear club, as if they are, you know, I don't know, a right-of-center talk radio program in the United States. They're getting the exact same treatment we do. They cannot use, they've been deplatformed from using credit cards in Russia. And this is a good example.
Most punishing of all, they've been cut off from Pornhub.
Keith, this is, we have seen, though, a glimpse as to what will happen if and when somebody gets out of the line of global homo. Let's just say Mississippi or Alabama or one of the Confederate states or all of the Confederate states. Let's just say there's a secession or the South begins to uncuck itself. Now, here's what's going to happen. All of these corporations are going to pick up states and move out of the states. Well, they're going to do the economic. This is, as Rich Hamblin said, economic World War III has already happened. They will cut the citizens of those states off from using credit cards. They will do everything they can to hurt them financially. That will be what happens here. We have seen what they've done to Russia is a glimpse to what will happen anytime somebody gets out of line.
Well, look,
in their opinion.
It's already happening here, James. This is what the Great Reset is.
Yeah, but
about.
I'm telling you that they will do it all over the whole state. Everybody in the whole state, not just us, who they can snipe at.
Well, see,
like
the
us.
Economic sanctions are part of the new Klaus Schwab World Economic Forum initiative called the Great Reset. They not only punish you with jail time, they not only punish you with being ostracized and unable to participate in the political process, they try to deplatform you, they try to destroy your ability to make a living. That's all considered fair game under the new liberal rules of engagement in the culture war.
I got to say this. It's talking about deplatforming. You know we've been deplatformed, ladies and gentlemen. Speaking about the Great Reset, and you just mentioned it, Keith, you know the incentive that we are offering this month for people who contribute $100 or more before March 31st is a copy of the Great Reset Resistance, with which Jim Dawson, our guest from Scotland last week, has delivered to us on a big pallet just a few days ago. We've already sent out quite a few of them. But I have to share this announcement. I was informed by the media just last week that TPC, for the 16th consecutive year, has been named to the official SPLC hate group listing. This is our 16th consecutive, 16 out of 18. 16
have we dropped in ranking, or are we moving up towards
really,
number
there's
one?
There's not a ranking, but but we are still on it for the 16th consecutive year. And in 2006, I told a reporter for NBC I was ecstatic to have been named to the list and that I wouldn't have felt as though I had arrived until having made it there. And I still feel that way today. Here's the thing, Keith. This radio program, the discussions we're having tonight, it's a serious program with serious guests who does serious work. And we've been on these front lines for a long, long time, almost two decades. That's a long time. That's a hell of a long time. You know, we had an expiration date on us from the time we first went on the air with everything that's been thrown at us, and we have still managed to stay the execution. Many individuals and organizations have come and gone since we first took to the airwaves, and our success and longevity, I believe, are a testament to our professionalism, the professionalism at least that we strive to exhibit. You know you can trust us. Here's the thing, folks. We're reliable. We can be counted on to face the heat without apology and without melting. I'm proud of our history and everything we've done together, and I want it
we're
to be
like
able to
like the
old continue.
Timex watch commercial. We take a licking and keep on ticking. Don't
I, and I want to keep on ticking, Keith, and that's the thing. Our first quarter fundraising drive is crucial, and we have to have your support to carry on. This isn't something I say every quarter out of repetition. I am telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, this is the 12th day of the month, so a couple more days. We'll be halfway through the month. We are not nearly halfway to our budget. The last couple of years, even in spite of being deplatformed, we've had very solid quarters. This quarter, for whatever reason, so far, has not gotten off to a very good start. There's still time to turn that around. We've done it before and had some late rallies. We want to be here still come Confederate History Month in April. We want to be here for another 18 years. We'll be here for as long as God wills, that's for sure, and as long as your support holds out. So what I'm saying here, folks, what I'm asking is if you're one of our regular donors, quarterly or intermittently or whatever, if you received the letter in our mail, in the mail a few days ago that my wife packaged for everybody out there who's a donor, you received it, consider putting a little something in the envelope and returning it back so we can continue to do this work. It is not a given that we will always be here. We will only be here. Now, I don't think I have to worry about our dedication and our willingness to do the work, but we just can't do it. It's not free. It costs. It costs us a lot.
Unfortunately, none of us are trust fund babies.
We don't have a trust fund, and we don't have an angel donor or anything like that.
We don't clip coupons.
Any angel investors... $25, $50, $100 is big, triggers the gift that we always want to send out a token of our appreciation and gratitude. But what I'm saying, folks, is, hey, it's not a drill. It's not something we do every quarter, four times a year just because it's tradition. We got to have it. We got to have it. We need a big week. We need we need to close the month in a big way. We're going to take a break, that being said, and we'll be back to wrap up this show next.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
A mosque in the Ukrainian port city of Mariupol has reportedly become the latest target of Russian shelling as the invasion continues. More than 80 people, including children, were sheltering there, according to Ukrainian officials. The number of casualties is not known. The city has already been hit hard by the Kremlin. The estimated death toll was more than 1,200 since the start of the invasion. Meanwhile, Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky continues to encourage his people to resist the Russians. He says the Kremlin would need to carpet bomb the capital, Kyiv, and kill its residents to take the city. Over in China, they are reinstating COVID restrictions to limit the spread of the coronavirus in several cities. The country is dealing with a spike in infections, with less than 600 new confirmed cases reported on Friday. The Texas Supreme Court stopped the last challenge to the state law that practically bans abortions in the state. This is USA Radio News.
Did you know most vitamin supplements don't even come from food? Even the products with colorful fruits and vegetables adorning the labels are seldom derived from produce. Typically, supplements are synthetic, made in a laboratory. Modern science may synthetically imitate these chemicals, but your body isn't fooled. It knows the difference, and it craves quality materials to build, repair, and fight illness. You need to consume fruits and vegetables daily in a variety of colors, as well as whole grains and other fresh food. That's why I formulated Balance of Nature. I wanted to be able to give my patients a natural alternative to the cheap, unnatural chemistry by giving them real fruits and vegetables. In fact, the only ingredients inside of Balance of Nature are whole fruits and vegetables. Don't settle for imitation nutrition. Reach for the good stuff, the real stuff.
Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com. Get 35% off your first preferred order by using discount code USA.
A Wisconsin man with a long rap sheet is about to go to trial for allegedly running over people during a Christmas parade.
Daryl Brooks Jr., the man accused of driving through a Christmas parade deliberately and killing six people in Wisconsin, will go to trial in October. Brooks Jr. appearing in court on Friday, where a judge ruled his trial will start October 3rd. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
A Columbus, Ohio police officer has been cleared of criminal wrongdoing in the shooting death of 16-year-old Makia Bryant. She was fatally wounded by Officer Nicholas Reardon as she swung a knife at a young woman. Police were called to Bryant's foster home about a group of girls threatening to stab other household members. The Justice Department is now doing a review of the Columbus Police Department. Nervousness over Russia's invasion of Ukraine caused a fifth straight losing week for the Dow, which closed down Friday 230 points. The Nasdaq lost 286 points. The S&P 500 was off by 55. You're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, folks. Well, listen, hey, as I said a moment ago, we have been engaged in this longstanding battle with our anti-white and anti-Christian adversaries. Let's just call them exactly what they are. They are anti-white and they are anti-Christian, which means that I don't mean they just oppose whites and Christianity. They hate whites and they hate Christianity.
And really, the essence of that is it's not because you're conservative and it's not even because you're Christian. It's because you're white that you are the enemy of global homo.
All right. That said, we do our part here as best we can, and I think we've set a good example. We've done quite a bit here that is proprietary and that others haven't been able to do, especially in media. Proud of it. Wanted to continue. Help us out. Jack Ryan in Chicago, always a war zone. So Jack sees what's going on in Russia and the Ukraine. He said, hey, that's like another weekend here. What are these people all upset about? How's it going in Chicago tonight, Jack?
I'm just outside of Chicago. I still own property in the city. It's bloody cold here. It's brutal, single digit there. And so I don't have to take this nonsense from these leftist college students mouthing off about global warming. They don't say global warming anymore. They say climate change. Okay, so. Yeah, we have climate change in Metro Chicago. It's called
whatever you call it. It's a fairy tale.
Okay. There's spring, there's brutal summer. The fall is the best one, and in winter it's freaking cold. So it's single digit, and I can take the winter. I can take a dress warm, but March is my least favorite month in Metro Chicago because I'm tired of the winter. You let your guard down. March in Chicago is for people who don't drink and know what a bad hangover is like, and that's kind of what it is.
Well, I don't know what it's like in Chicago, Jack, but in Memphis we've had four seasons in 1 week. We've had summer, spring, fall, and winter. It changes
cold.
Daily.
Are there 6 inches of snow on the ground now? It was 75 degrees 2 days ago. So that's what's going on down here. But
now, yeah, but Mother Nature, remember that one back in the 70s? They had an advertisement for a margarine that was like.
It's so not nice to fool Mother Nature.
Not nice to fool Mother Nature. And so if you're mouthing off against Mother Nature in Chicago saying, oh, it's global warming, you could freeze to death and just die in Chicago. And you go to the pearly gates, you go to St. Peter, and you die. And you say, well, how did you die? And they're like, well, I was protesting global warming in Chicago in late February, and I froze to death. And like, no, you go to hell. We don't need stupid, dumb people like that. And so we've got rough nature in all parts of the United States of America, the Midwest, the South, hurricanes and stuff. So you better respect Mother Nature. You better respect there and be prepared for just the seasons in nature. So we're getting through it, but brutal, just brutally cold, this in Metro Chicago, just brutally cold.
Well, I remember coming up there for a spring break with my kids, and I don't think I've ever been any colder than I was out there on the Navy Pier in Chicago. Yeah. We went to some store, and I mean, we got those old Floyd Turbo looking hats, you know, with the flaps on it, and coats and scarves and everything. Man, I mean, you couldn't get enough clothing on to stay warm in that when the wind starts, the hawk, as they say, starts blowing off of Lake Michigan.
Michigan is cold, but there's nothing as cold as these college miseducated Anglo women like Hillary Clinton
you speak from experience, I tell
me.
You.
I have quite a bit of experience in there, and I don't. I mean, there might be some biological one why people go gay or something, but I just think a lot of the problem is that regular men, they see these women like Hillary Clinton and Chelsea Clinton, and they think, I'm not attracted to these women. There's something wrong with me. Am I willing to sacrifice my life for that? Oh, horrible. Just dreadful. So I'd love to be in the South and hear some Southern accents and to be there. I would love to be down in Tennessee, the great state of Tennessee.
I'm going to take you on a tour of the neighborhoods I think would be to your liking.
Well, you know, you could do that, but you also do a great tour of the wrong side of the tracks, or the poor side of town, as Johnny Rivers might call it.
And well, as who's that comedian, the black comedian of Chris Rock? He said, if you're in a strange town and your car breaks down and you look up and it says Martin Luther King Boulevard, run like hell.
Right.
Well, you know, we've got a listener and a supporter from Colorado who's going to be coming in this fall with his wife and requested the Keith Alexander tour, which, by the way, you've given to members of European Parliament before.
In fact, we had Tom Sunik on today. I've never seen a guy sweat like he did. He was crouching.
No, no, no. That was not Tom.
Who was
You're talking about the guy from DeZite.
No, not that. No, I'm talking about Tom. I took Tom on one myself, and he said, let's get out of here.
Well, hey, he's a smart guy. He proved
his Eastern European instincts kicked in.
Hey, well, you know, could you imagine Jack living, and we had Tom Sunik on from Zagreb. He was calling in from Zagreb earlier, just talking about how safe it is, how homogenous it is. I mean, they've got their problems. What song is that? You've got, I've got my troubles. Come on.
I'm afraid I'm.
You've
pulling
got your troubles. I've got mine. Come on, somebody does that. Okay, song.
Yeah. Oh, that was You got your troubles.
That's
I got
it.
Mine.
There you go. Come on. That's right. That's it.
It might be another place, another time.
Somebody text me who sings that. We should know that. That's from our wheelhouse.
That was
that's
a
the
group
60s.
In I think it was 64.
I got the internet here. Google can find anything.
You can find anything. Play it for us.
Play it for. Anyway, well, Jack. I was just. Tom said he could go out and walk around in Zagreb and he would feel safe. You certainly can't do that in Memphis. And I don't know about Chicago, but I'll tell you, you know, one thing you've got over us, we have to drive everywhere we go, Jack. We have to drive everywhere we go. You actually live in a place you can walk around and get to everything.
I think some good public transportation, right around.
As Rich was just joking, well, he's not joking, gasoline is more expensive in the United States now than it is in Zimbabwe. Jack's saving on the gas.
Wow. Wow, I really didn't know that. So, yes, it is true. I've lived all over this country. I spent my best years of my life in Tennessee. I lived in New York City after college. But I like the country. I like the cities. But I like being able to walk. And I think that that's a very positive thing about civilization. And that's one of my complaints about the South is that everybody drives. They drive everywhere. They don't have sidewalks. Obviously, they don't have public transportation anywhere. And
it's rural versus urban.
A lot of our people they're big people, but their diet is they eat a lot of food, starchy, sugary things. And then if you don't walk, you get fat. And it's not just the African Americans; it's regular.
Well, people used to have blue collar jobs that were pretty demanding physically, and that I think burned up a lot of calories that aren't being burned up today.
Burned up calories.
They say
but I think it's important to walk. It's important to just walk, and I think that's when you get over.
Well, you know, the deindustrialization of America. The deindustrialization of America led to that. Right now, all of these small towns used to have a factory. Every town had a factory. Now, 70% of the male head of household breadwinners get their job or get their money doing what? Being truck drivers. That's not a very physically demanding job for most of the time. Just sitting in the cab
of
the truck. And that's how you get fat. Yeah,
you get fat. But if you just eat 3 meals a day with pancakes and sausages and all kinds of sugars and things like that, and then you don't walk, you're going to have some issues with weight. And so when I was down in Memphis, they said, like, well, one of the reasons they go, they open up the mall is that old people can walk around the mall to get some walking. And I think that that's just, no, I think we should walk. I think that, and that's one of the reasons we shouldn't give up our cities, because our cities have places, they have sidewalks, the public transportation, and you walk. If you walk 5 or 6 miles a day, which I often do, you're going to be fit. And I think that's something that, we shouldn't give up.
Most people have to work for a living, though, Jack.
Well, yeah, but you can, you can
tell me a job that you can hold when you're walking around a mall, maybe a security guard. I don't think they've got that many security guard jobs, and they don't pay that well. See, that's why
I'm trying to get
a truck driver.
I'm trying to get a job as a Chicago tour guide, history guide. I had a job for a week, but they made me work on Labor Day, and I got fired on Labor Day. One mediocre. That's not really good if they're like, they're really respect for your laborers when they make you work on Labor Day and then fire you on Labor Day. But so, yeah, I think there's that we can have jobs with walking. And I just think we can live a healthy life, dancing, walking, eating good food. And I think
chasing women.
Get away from that processed food. We'll be right back. Hang on, Jack.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
I took a stroll on the old long walk of the day. I met a little girl and we stopped to talk of a fine soft day. And I asked her friend, what's a fella to do? Cause her hair is black and her eyes are blue. And I knew right then, I've been taking a whirl around a sawtail prom with a
Ladies and gentlemen, our march around the world will advance next week. Where will we end up? We'll find out. But let's first find out what song that was and why we're listening to it, Jack.
That was Steve Earle, and it was The Galway Girl, which I think is an Irish theme. I think it's Ireland, or maybe it's
Galway is in Ireland.
Is in Ireland. Okay, so it has an Irish theme, and now in Metro Chicago, it's St. Patrick's Day, which is still a big event, the communists, antichrist, anti-white people, they've attacked all the other ones with Columbus Day and things like that. They haven't gotten around to trying to wipe out St. Patrick's Day, so we've still got that there. So that's a song that I wanted to promote, and I really like Steve Earle. I thought he was just a fantastic artist, but then he fell into bad politics and became a heroin addict and things like that. But that song, I like Galway Girl. I think it's a beautiful song, and I like for our listeners to try to listen to it and promote it.
Well, see, this is the thing I like, Jack, when you come on. We can talk about music. We can talk about things outside of the dreariness. And, well, look,
right.
This show is here to pass about information, factual information. We're also here to hope and encourage, and it's not always bad news. And in fact, if anything, of course, we're glass is half full type warriors. I think we're going to turn this thing around, and we're going to take it all. But in the meantime, there are some segments that are more serious than others, and it's okay to have a laugh and to have a little levity and to enjoy good music and listen to a song and to sing it out loud and crank the volume up in the car. And, I would do that to this song, Keith, we were talking about a moment ago. It was the Fortunes. You've Got Your Troubles by the Fortunes.
I remember that. They were from the East Coast, weren't they? They were somewhere like Philadelphia to New York or something.
I see that worried look upon your face. You've got your troubles. I've got mine.
Yeah, it was something about I lost my love like you. Remember that?
Well, I got the lyrics right here. So, yes, I do. But you know their best song? Oh, no, I lost it. How did I do that? Their best song is
5 o'clock World.
No, that was the Vogues. Here Comes That Rainy Day Feeling Again. That was a good one.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, the Fortunes. Yeah, Jack, you know the Fortunes? Had a few hits there. I mean, not household names, but
I know that.
We hadn't had a battle of the band since last year when we did the Grassroots versus the Turtles, I believe it was. We had a couple of them. We need to do that again.
Well, we'll have Gary Lewis and the Playboys against whoever our man Jack puts up against
him. Well, I tell you, Gary Lewis and the Playboys versus the Fortunes would be about a tit for tat. You know, they both had about a handful of hits.
Well, I think Gary Lewis and Playboys had a lot more than a handful. They probably had 10 or more.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, look, they were backed up by Jerry Lewis's access to the entertainment industry. There's a guy named Snuff Garrett from Louisiana who was his music producer, and Gary was the guy that they perfected auto-tune on. They said that he could make Gary Lewis sound like Enrico Caruso on auto-tune.
Anyway, back to you, Jack.
Well, I think those musics were very good. I mean, we can argue about who was the best. I think that you like these early 60s. Songs during the Pacemakers and things like that. I really like
that's a good one.
70s R&B soul, which was soul, but it wasn't vulgar, it wasn't violent, and obviously the
it wasn't vulgar. It wasn't produced in Memphis because that's where we did. We specialized in that, like Ann Peebles.
Right.
Well, yeah, right. Jack's talking about Jerry the Pacemakers. That was that Mersey beat, right. And yeah, Ferry crossed the Mersey.
They were in the first wave of the English invasion.
Right, English.
Carry across the Mersey.
So they have, and something things. Not all invasions are bad. Sometimes they bring good things. So that the British Islands were populated by Germans that moved over, Angles and Saxons, and then the Normans in 1066. Wouldn't that have been great if the other Germanic tribes had invaded England from Normandy Beach, like the Normans did in 1066, and then the invasion was successful. So not all invasions are bad. And so some things are, I think the British invasion of popular music in the mid-60s was great. It was something that we should celebrate. And if the Russians, beautiful, sexy Russian tennis players like Anna Kournikova and Maria Sharapova are going to invade our country, I'd collaborate. I really would. I would.
If an Amazonian army lined up, Jack would surrender immediately.
I would. Those sexy skiers that do the biathlon where they cross-country ski and then shoot with the rifles. I was a little disappointed this year in the one in communist China. Really, they didn't do the biathlon the way that it was meant to be. But that's my favorite sport, those really good-looking cross-country.
I thought the mud wrestling was your favorite sport.
No, I'm a little bit higher class.
Hey, what about curling, Jack? What about curling?
That is the most boring sport in the history of the public. I'd rather watch chess or just darts. It's an ice version of darts. It is, and they try to fill up time, and it takes 10 or 12 hours. It's the only sport that England competes in the Winter Olympics. This shows you how boring that it is. So I like the downhill running, the thrill of victory and the agony defeat where they do long jumping on the ice. Those are the things. And then I like also the figure skating, and that we didn't have our best hockey players that they're there. There were the NHL players didn't play. Finland won for the first time ever. It was like they were in one of the Winter War in 1912, but it really wasn't there. So I thought it was not a great Winter Olympics. I wanted to try to be for it, but that's one thing that even the communist China, all figure skating is gay. That all the men's guys they wear, they're just gay. It's a gay sport. So anyway, it is what it is.
Like the women though, I'm sure the scantily clad women in that, would be right up your alley, right?
Well, yeah, I like, okay, this is another thing. I think I might have gotten banned from Facebook again. I thought that women's ice hockey, like who watches women's ice hockey? It's not South America.
If they were wearing bikinis, I know that you'd be watching them.
Well, it doesn't have to be bikinis, but women's tennis players.
No. Jack does talk about this a lot. Jack does, you know, we all who does it enjoy to look at a beautiful woman, but Jack does it in a tasteful way. You've talked about this quite a bit, Jack. Explain your vision for this.
Well, I would just say that a woman's sport, the only women's sports I'm going to support are the women who are better than I am now in my late 50s. If they're not better than I am now, I don't want to watch them. And they should be better looking than I am if I put on a wig or something like that. And the women's volleyball player, beach volleyball, indoor players, they're good athletes, but they're also attractive. So are women's tennis players. Not.
I can't erase that image of Jack with a wig on from my mind now after it's come up.
You see more and more women that look like that now.
Yeah, but the women's hockey players.
Jack's a handsome man, but he's not a beautiful woman.
That's right.
No, I'm not. But the women's hockey players, they wear the same uniforms as the men's. They have pads, and then the women's soccer players have got blue hair.
That's why you don't like the Winter Olympics. Everybody's dressed for the cold for the most part in it.
Well,
right?
but the downhill skiers and the biathlon people, they have warm clothes, but it's still fashionable. The women look good, and it's not just me. It's not just men. Women do not want to watch sports where the women don't have fashions and they're not. They don't show.
They really don't want to watch sports that are dominated by lesbians, right?
No, ugly lesbians. Yeah, I agree. I think that's the true life. I think that's just obvious. Something that everybody knows, but you're not allowed to say it. You're just not allowed to say it. And what we
anywhere
say
except on the political cesspool.
Yeah, we say it on the political cesspool because we speak the truth. We speak about regular people. What regular people want in education, in jobs and economics. And we're good people. We're not extremists, but we just speak what the regular people like and what we want. And what we want in sports is good sports or entertainment. It's some show with a plot, okay? Something that's not just violence and there. We want something that has a plot with some good music. So this is St. Patrick's Day coming out. My favorite Irish one is The Quiet Man with John Wayne.
Oh, yeah, I think St. Patrick's Day is next week, in fact. So,
now, who is the female lead in that movie, Jack?
O'Hara, Catherine O'Hara?
Maureen O'Hara, I believe so, yeah.
Maureen O'Hara. Whoa.
No, Maureen, yeah, Maureen.
Right. And then she was in the first version of, it's that one about the twins where they're separated. The love, and they made a remake of it, in very successful remake with Lindsay Lohan there, the Parent Trap or something there. But Yeah, she was just a beautiful, very, my ex is Irish, Irish in England, just beautiful, very stereotypical Irish, beautiful, hellacious temper. The Fighting Irish is not the men's football team. It's Irish women that they really have just a hellacious temper, and that, you know, guys could go through that. But God bless all the ones. God bless all of our people, Croatians, Serbs, Russians, Ukrainians, Irish. These are all part of our family. And
it's stop fighting. Make love, yeah. Not war. Right, Jack?
Yeah. Make love, not war. And so why don't they make up some deal where there's some prince in Kiev, Ukraine, and he could marry some Russian tennis players, and they could make their deals. And like, come on, why don't you do that? Isn't that better than hanging
dating
out?
Game episode between men and women from Ukraine and Russia.
I'm glad we finally got to the important stuff here at the end of the show. But for Jack Ryan, Keith Alexander, our guest tonight, Adrian Davis, and Tom Sunich, I'm James Edwards. We'll see you next week, ladies and gentlemen, as our march around the world rolls on. Important articles coming up at thepoliticalcesspool.org this coming up week, and an announcement about a private event also up there as well, so check that out. And please support our first quarter fundraising drive. We want to be here come second quarter, and it's all up to you, ladies and gentlemen. We love you. God bless you. God save the South. And we'll be back next week. Good night. The spirit.